All right, well, Family Worship Night is coming up in just a couple weeks. It's a Wednesday night, and I want to bring a little bit of clarity around that for you. First of all, you don't have to have a family to necessarily come. By family, we mean a church family. Here at Adventure Church, we believe we are family, and it's when our entire church family comes together, meaning that all ages, above preschool age, elementary, youth, and adults will be in worship together. And there's a lot of importance to that and reasons why we do that, to help show our children and to give you an opportunity as a parent to do that. But if you're single, you can come. If you're empty nester, you can come. We're going to have an intentional time of fellowship on the front end of that, out in the lobby. We'll have tables. We aren't providing dinner per se, but we're going to have snacks and some refreshments available just for you to connect with other people in our church, and that'll be from 6:30 to about 7:15, and then from 7:15 to 8, we're going to come together and worship and pray together, and that will be in our season of 40 days of focus during Lent this year, where we'll have some intentional times of prayer together, but really just an opportunity to worship and seek God. And so, man, last time it was such a great event. So many people enjoyed that, so I'd encourage you to come and participate in that. Also, I was going to let you know, we have new hoodies for sale today, but they told me right before service that I think all the good sizes are gone already. So that's why they say the early service gets the worm, right? That's just kind of what happened today, but we'll get some more ordered. But if you want some and they still have your size, you can go purchase that today. Well, grab your worship guide. You can follow along with the notes with me today. And we are in part two of a series that we're calling Built to Last, and we're looking at how do our relationships really make it to the end. Nobody enters into a marriage relationship hoping for a few years, right? They're hoping for a lifetime. But unfortunately, many marriages don't make it to the end. They don't stand the test of time. So what can we do from a biblical perspective to ensure that our relationships last, that they make it? And man, my prayer for this series for many of you is that some of you that are dating right now, that because of this series, I know this sounds kind of bad, especially with Valentine's Day coming up on Wednesday, but my prayer is that you'll break up with who you're dating because you shouldn't be dating them. And there's a reason that God wants you to hear these words, and he wants to partner you with the right person, but that's not the right person. And so I'm praying for that for some of you. I'm praying for some of you that hey, we are moving towards marriage and we've made that commitment that you're going to get married the right way, that you'll honor God in that process and in that engagement period because of what you're going to learn in this series. And then for some of you, man, my prayer is that you just don't quit, that you're married and that you stay committed, that you don't give up too soon, that your marriage can grow stronger because of the series. And man, dating and it's pursuing the person is very important because you can't marry the right person, right, if you're dating the wrong one. And so we gotta make sure that we date right, we honor God. And so last week we talked about how do I find the right person, but if we really want to approach dating in a biblical way, we shift from how do I find the right person to how do I become the right person. Because if we focus on becoming who God has called us to be, and if our intention and focus and pursuit and passion is on pleasing the Lord and wanting to fulfill his plan for our life, he promises us in his word that when we seek him with all of our heart, that when we pursue him as our number one desire, that he will then also give us what we need when we need it. I try to encourage people in those seasons of being single that God sees you, and if you could just get your heart set on the Lord, that when it's right, he'll bring the right one. And that's a simple way of saying it, and I know it's not always easy, but that's what it means to follow Jesus. How many of you are thankful today that your life is out of your control? That you have placed your life in the hands of God who says, I got you. I got this, and if you'll just trust me and surrender to me, man, I will lead you in the way that I want you to go. And so we have to shift from becoming, from finding the right one to really focusing on becoming the right one. And when we focus on that, God promises to bring the right one. And so as we focus on becoming, it's so important because you don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. So become, focus on becoming the person that you're looking for is looking for. Developing that. And so today we're going to talk about three building blocks to becoming the right person. How do we become the right person? Again, culture has a lot of different things to say when it comes to dating and finding the right one and doesn't focus as much on becoming, right? Like they'll say things like this, date as many people as possible and, you know, kick the tires on as many cars as you can and you'll find the type that you like, right? Or, right, we have the bachelor that gives us great wisdom, right? Casually date 30 women, make out with a few of them, fall in love with two of them, give a rose to one of them, right? First service laughed a lot more at that, Pastor Ben. I don't know why. Too many bachelor fans here. They're like, it's way more serious than that. Some of them have made it, you know, they've actually made it. Now, if you're up in your years a little bit, you can also watch The Golden Bachelor. Thankfully, my wife abandoned that show many years ago because honestly, right, it's our culture. And if we're getting advice from some of our friends, if we're getting advice from what we see on movies and what we see on social media, right, if that's where we're getting our wisdom, man, we're going to miss what God has for us. And the most important decision of your life outside of deciding to follow Jesus is who you are going to tie your life to. Who you're going to marry, we want to make sure we get that right. So why don't we seek wisdom from the one who created marriage? The Bible, as I said last week, is our blueprint for marriage. It's our blueprint for life. And if we want our relationships to be built to last, we got to follow what Scripture says. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this whole chapter is really advice about marriage. And Paul was writing a church that he had planted. And they had a lot of issues around marriage and divorce and sexuality. And so he writes this letter to them, bringing correction, bringing encouragement. And in chapter 7, he begins to lay out some of these guidelines for marriage and for relationships. And Paul immediately shows us and addresses a lie that many of us believe. And that it's this, is that in order to really live a life of purpose and to have a life that has meaning, is that we have to be married. And Paul addresses right away that being married is not our purpose in life. Come on, somebody say amen. That is not your purpose. And so if you're single and in that season, your purpose is not tied to being married. Look what Paul says. He said, I wish all of you were as I am. And as he's saying that is meaning, he was addressing, I'm single. And he says, I wish all of you were single. He said, but each of you has your own gift from God, meaning God has his own plan and purpose for you. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. And what Paul is saying here is that singleness, when viewed through the lens of Scripture and the lens of someone who has surrendered their life to Jesus, that singleness is a gift. And for some of you, you go, hey, I'd like to exchange this gift, please. God, you can have this gift back because it doesn't feel like a gift. It feels a lot like loneliness, right? Let's just be honest. It feels a lot like I'm missing a part of my life. And Paul says, no, it's a gift to do that. And I want to address this really quick because a lot of times we see this happen in when people get married and in their pursuit of finding the one and trying to find their soulmate, if you will, is that we try to fill a void that Jesus can only fill in our life by trying to find a person to fill that void. And if you fill the void of your life with relationships and trying to get something from someone that they were never designed to give you, that your spouse was never designed or meant to give you in the first place, right? No one, listen to me, no one can replace Jesus' role in your life. There's a void that only he can fill. And we find this scripture in or this story in scripture in John chapter 4, where Jesus meets this woman at the well. And there's so much to this that I don't have time to unpack today. First, it's very significant because this is the time and place and person that Jesus decided to launch his public ministry. So Jesus had been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes with his disciples and performing some miracles here and there, but he would tell everyone, don't say anything yet. You know, like, we're not ready to let to kind of ignite this movement just yet. And so they're going to Samaria. It's a place where Jews, people like Jesus, didn't get along with these people. And Jesus goes to this well in the middle of the day when it was not typical. Women in that time would go to the well, get the water that they needed for their families. And Jesus meets this woman at the well at a time where typically they're not there. So there's a lot of scholars that believe she was there because she didn't want to be seen by other people, that she had some embarrassing, you know, stories in her life. And we find out through her conversation with Jesus that she is on her fifth husband relationship, and she wasn't even married to this man yet. And so we can see that here's a woman who, we don't know all the details, but we can kind of put some pieces together, that was trying to find fulfillment and meaning in relationships, and none of them were working out. And so Jesus is at this physical well where they draw water from it, and she's trying to figure out what he's talking about. And here's what he says to her. He says, if you knew the gift of God, meaning himself, the Messiah is here, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. She's thinking of the physical water there. And this well is deep. How are you going to get this? Where can you get this living water? She said, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did all of his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered this, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And what he's telling this woman here, he said, you've been drawing from the wrong well. You've been looking for love, come on, in all the wrong places. And if you recognized who I am and what I could offer you, you would see that if you'll drink from me, if you'll build your life on me, if you'll receive all that I have for you, man, that water will literally fill the void in your life. He says it will well up within you. It will overflow out of you. And some of you, listen to me, not because it's your own fault, it's just because of the way this world is. It's how you always thought your marriage would be. You've entered into your marriage with expectations that your spouse is to fill a void in you that only God can fill. And you've been drawing from the wrong well. You've been wanting something from your spouse that they were never designed to give you and can't give you. And it's depleting them, and it's destroying your relationship. And so the first thing Paul says is, like, you have to understand that the purpose of life is not to be married. That is not the purpose of your life. He goes on in verse 35, he says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. He said, I'm not trying to keep you from what God has for you. If he has that for you, he has that for you. He's like, but that you may live in a right way. And so here's where Paul then lays out the purpose. He says, singleness is a gift. It's not a punishment. It's not a life sentence that you're never going to find someone or be happy. He says it's a gift because it enables you to live out your true purpose in a way that you cannot live out when you're married. And here's what he says. So I'm telling you this that you may live in a right way. And here it is. You ready? Here's your purpose. Here's all of our purpose if we surrender to Christ, that you can live in undivided devotion to the Lord. Being married is not your purpose in life. If you are a believer and follower of Jesus, our purpose in life is to live, listen to me, with undivided devotion to Jesus. Now look, you go, well, singleness is not a gift. I take your gift back, Jesus. I don't want it anymore, right? I want this person in my life, and I'm with you. But listen, how many of you who are married would say that you had a little bit more time on your hands when you were not married, right? And come on, and then let's just put up two hands. You said, I had a lot more time on my hands when I didn't have kids. My devotion is divided, and it's not bad. It was God's will, and Man, it was a desire that I had to have a family, and I'm thankful for that. But come on, if I didn't have a wife or kids, I would have a lot more time to be undivided in my devotion to Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, for my calling in life, it is better for me to remain single because I can give all of my time to God's plan and purpose and to build his kingdom. And so we view the single seasons of our life. If you're there today, man, this is the time that you can pursue God without the distraction of marriage. Because once you get married, man, your commitment changes, your life changes. And again, for so many things, it's a good change. But it's going to require a lot more of your time. So our purpose is to live with undivided devotion for Jesus. And when that becomes our purpose, right, we quit looking for the right person because my devotion is to Jesus and I'm focusing then on becoming the right person. And when I do that, I trust that my God and my Savior will bring the right person at the right time when I'm ready for it. Come on, is there freedom in that today? There's just freedom in that. It takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off. So what do? You go, I want that. I want that. Listen, God wants to give you the desires of your heart, but he also wants you to be fully devoted to him. And so what does it look like today? I want to give you three building blocks to becoming the right person, a person whose foundation is built on Jesus. And the first one is this. To become the right person, you first need to be secure in Christ. You need to become secure in Christ. That's where your security needs to be. Listen, if you want to end up married and happy, start out single and secure. Be secure in who you are. Have you ever dated someone who's incredibly insecure? Right? If you've been there, it's things like this. Do you really like me? I'm on a date with you. Yes. If I didn't, I wouldn't be on a date with you. I wouldn't spend time with you. But are you sure? Do you like my outfit? I shouldn't be talking like a girl. That's just my perspective, okay? Could be like this. Do you really like me? You know, it goes both ways. I'm obviously a guy. But do you like me? So it's about this. I need to find my security in you and what you think of me and how I look. And I need that validation all the time. That's an insecure person. And we all have times where we function in an insecure space, but that's it, right? Or it can go like this, that they're insecure, and so it's, hey, who are you texting? What can I see your phone? Who's on your phone? Who called you? Where were you, right? Did you look at her? Like, yeah, I couldn't help it. She walked by me, you know? Like, it's insecurity, it surfaces in different ways, but did you look at them? Are you looking at her? And that's someone who's not secure in Christ. And when it comes to relationships, right, insecure people need more and they settle for less. They need more from someone, and because of that, they settle for less than God's best a lot of times. They always need outside reassurance. So they settle for less than God's best because they're seeking something that they need to seek out in Jesus in someone else. Look, we want to marry people who do not rely on the other person for their identity and their security. We want to know, I know who I am in Christ. I've become, and I'm becoming who God wants me to be. I know the direction that God is calling me to go in my life. I know what he wants me to do. Man, I am validated as a son and daughter of God. That is where my identity is, and I'm secure in that. And when I'm secure in that, then I can move forward to finding that type of person. But I understand it's easy to get caught up in this because, again, our culture and movies and everything, so I thought it'd be fun just to give you a little what I call love lies, okay? These are lies of love. It's like a country song in there. I'm finding it, you know what I mean? It's like I'm going to twist those words a little bit, find the hook in there. So if you're a good songwriter, I'll give me some credit, some royalties. You can use that. But love lies that we find. Here's some. As Valentine's Day is approaching, the movie The Notebook. Come on, any Notebook fans in the house? Right? There's some lies in here that we believe when we watch it. And Noah says to her, he says, no matter what happens to us, every day with you is the best day of my life. Liar. Not true. It's just not true. I love my wife, but I've had some amazing days without her on the golf course, on things. I've had some moments where, you know, I didn't need her to make my day amazing, right? It's just a lie. Come on, anybody who's been married, right, knows. Like, there's some days where you bring out the worst in me, you know? Lie. Here's another love lie from the infamous Titanic movie. I remember in high school when this came out, you know, literally girls that were my friends, you know, went to the movie theater. How many times have you been to the theater? 10 times I've been to the theater. My love is going on and on and on, right? And a big lie in there, right? We see it right at the end. First of all, it's just a lie, right? Any girl that I've only known for like 2 days, I think they were on that boat, right? She's fighting me for that log that I'm laying on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'd like to say that that would happen, but that's just real. But then she lies to him and says, I will never let go. She lied. She let go. And she watched him sink to the bottom of the ocean. And then she lived to be like 100, right? Poor Jack was like 19. Dude died an early death. And we're all like, oh, it's such a good movie, right? No, it's a lie. It's a lie. And then the best one, Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire, right? Marries this girl on a whim, ties their life together, is going to bail out on it, and then realizes, I think she's my best option, shows up in the living room and says, you complete me. You complete me. Lie, another lie. If you're looking for your spouse to complete you, I promise you, you're going to have problems, because here's the truth. All right, you ready? There's a lot of love lies. Here's the truth. Another person or marriage does not complete you. Christ completes you. Right here, Colossians 2:9, Apostle Paul writing again, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. God showed up through Christ. And if you are in Christ, you have been made complete in Christ. That is the truth that you need to believe. You don't need another person to complete you. Jesus completes you. But I understand why we fall for those love lies. Everywhere you go, everything you hear, right? Everything you see, it's something different. The predominant cultural message is you cannot be happy without your soulmate, right? It's Uncle Rico. You guys remember Uncle Rico? Wasn't for, coach would have put him in the fourth quarter, right? They would have won state, and Uncle Rico wouldn't be old and lonely. He'd be sitting in a hot tub with his soulmate right now. Some of you are going to find out what Uncle Rico is later. Todd, add it to the list. There's a joke on staff. Todd is a younger guy on the team, and so I'll talk about a movie like Napoleon Dynamite or another classic, you know, a classic. He'll be like, yeah, I've never seen that. And I'll be like, you've never seen it? He goes, I wasn't alive when it came out. He's like, but I'll put it on my list. And then he whispers, it's a list that doesn't exist. It's just, that's what I tell people. It's on my list. I'll get to that one, right? But that was Napoleon Dynamite. It's just one of the soulmate. I am looking for my soulmate. And until I find my soulmate, I'll never be happy. Even in the church, we can see this happen where you aren't complete and the church perpetuates this thing. It's almost like you're a second class Christian if you aren't married. And the devil, right? He whispers those things. You'll never find someone. You're not worthy of someone. Must be something wrong with you. And we hear all these things, see all these things. But listen, you are not alone if you're single today. Listen to me. I just saw a stat this week about what, you know, Valentine's Day is also known as Singles Awareness Day, right? It's just, oh, it's the day that I remember that I don't have a Valentine, right? But listen, you're not alone. Right now, currently in America, 46% of all adults are single. 46% are single. So you are not alone. And so if you've bought that, if you've believed that, that you need someone to make you complete, your purpose is not to be married. Your purpose is to live fully devoted to Jesus. And if you fully devote your life to him, you are complete in him, whether you get married or not. And that is what anchors you. That is what gives you security. That is what gives you confidence. That is what enables you not to compromise. If you are in Christ, listen to me, you are complete and whole. You're valuable. You are of indescribable worth to God. As we talked about at Christmas, Jesus is our King, right? And you are a son and daughter of the King, which makes you a prince or a princess. And come on, a prince or a princess doesn't compromise their values. They don't settle for less than the King's best for their life. So why would you do any different? Single, secure people. You see, when you're secure in Christ, insecure people, they need more and settle for less, but secure people need less, and here it is, and they expect more. I know who I am. I know what value I have. I know how God sees me, so I don't date less than his best. I'm not going to compromise what I know God has for me. You know, Jess and I kind of have a unique story. People are like, oh, tell me how you met. Oh, well, she was dating my roommate for the first year that I knew her. She was. And I didn't steal her, you know what I'm saying? They broke up. She'll tell you it wasn't the most healthy relationship. But for the first year, we were just friends. I mean, I didn't even look at her as an option. It wasn't something that I was pursuing. And I was single. I was a youth pastor. I was, you know, which comes with its own struggles when you're a pastor and you're single and you're in the church, because literally everyone in the church knows someone that you should be dating. Oh, you got to meet her. Oh, she's great, you know? Every week. So that was a struggle in itself. And so they broke up. There was some time and space. And then we started to develop more of a relationship out of our friendship. And I'm just telling you, I believe it's what has given us such a strong marriage, is that it wasn't based on romance at first. It was just friendship. And friendship became the foundation of our marriage. And because of that, I honestly say I'm married to my best friend. Because she was my best friend before we got married. And so spend time developing those types of things. You see, and when your purpose isn't to be married, right, you don't rush the process. So many times people are like, oh, I just want to get married, I want to get married. And so before they even get to know the person and develop a friendship with them, right, they begin to date them, rushing the process. Listen, your purpose in life isn't to be married. Your purpose in life is to live fully devoted to Jesus. And when I approached it that way, listen, Jess, she doesn't complete me. She does, however, compliment me, very much so. She balances me out. She's the yin to my yang, you know what I'm saying? Which makes me mad a lot of times. But she brings a perspective to my life that says, I am different, and I'm not meant to complete you, but I can compliment you and become a partner to you. And when you date right and you honor God and you serve God, man, and you become complete in him, God will bring, if that is the desire and his will for your life, the right person to compliment you when that time is right. The first building block you need is to be secure in Christ. The second one is to be strong in character. See, it's common to think in our culture today, hey, we're just having some fun. I'll get serious about God later. You know, I gotta just kind of live and have fun and enjoy some sin while I can, and then I'll settle down and I'll stop that at some point. But listen, you don't build a life of righteousness on a foundation of sin. And you are called by God to be developing your character. So much of Scripture, we see this, where he talks about the purpose of trials and difficulties, that he's developing your character in you, and that we should be seeking God and becoming complete in him and being secure in him and saying, God, develop within me a strong character that will honor you and compliment whoever you bring into my life. What does that look like? Paul told Timothy in chapter 4, verse 12, he says, set an example for all believers. He's describing character in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He says, your words matter. Your behavior matters. Your love, your faith, your relationship with God, your purity, your sexual integrity, it matters. And so when you're in the season where you're looking and you're dating people, I would challenge you. You wanna marry someone who's strong in character. You gotta develop these areas, but you also gotta look for these characteristics in someone else's life. I would challenge you to look for character cracks, is how I would call them. They're little cracks that you see, they surface when you're dating, right? So you want to be listening. Paul says, how do they talk? Do they gossip a lot? Do they talk bad about people? Come on, do they have foul language? Do they honor God with their words? Like, how do they respond in times of conflict? What's their behavior like? Are they angry? Do they have a temper? These are things you should be looking for. How do they show love to other people? Do they serve each other well, right? What type of relationship do they have with Jesus? What is the strength of their faith and their relationship? Are they living a pure life? Sexually pure, pursuing God. And I would challenge you, don't overlook the cracks. These are warning signs that you should look for, that you should see, because listen to me, and some of you know because you've experienced it firsthand, cracks become gaps later on. And they just get bigger and wider, harder to bridge, harder to find commonality around. And so Paul says, you got to be strong in character. You want to marry someone with strong character? Develop strong character. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. But with God's help, come on, that we can be secure in Christ, complete in Christ, developing strong character in our life, becoming who God has created and called us to be. And when we focus on that, He will, in His time, bring the right person. The band's coming and we're going to begin to close out, but there's one more building block to becoming the right person. And it doesn't have a lot to do with you individually. More about the type of community you're in, because we can't live out the values of Jesus and become who He's called us to be in isolation. It's one of our values here at the church. We believe that life is better together, and here's the reality. Everyone needs encouragement and accountability in their life. How many of you would honestly say that your marriage would be better if you had someone encouraging you in the things of God and keeping you accountable to the things of God? Come on, let me see. Everybody should be raising your hand. Or if you didn't raise your hand, you don't get nachos, all right? That's the deal. No nachos for you. It's a participation award today. But that's just the truth. That every marriage needs a little bit of encouragement and everybody needs a little bit of accountability. And so the reason we have to have building block number three in our life is that you have to be rooted in community. Rooted, defined, it means to be firmly established, not loosely connected, not every once in a while showing up. No, I am rooted in community. That's why we say here at Vin Church, we're family. You can't just be loosely connected to a family, it's your family. And we choose to establish our lives, because to become secure in Christ and strong in character, you need Christian community. You need it. And the strength of your community will shape the quality of your life, and if you're married, the quality of your marriage. Jeannie Mayo, who was a youth evangelist when I was growing up and pastored an amazing youth ministry at her church, and she would travel around and teach youth pastors, and I always remember her saying this, and I don't know if it's linked to her, but it's linked to her because of me, but she would always say, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Show me who you're hanging out with. And we say that a lot to kids, right? Come on, some of you preach that to your kids, right? Listen, your friendship circle right now is not a good circle. We need to get you out of that. We need to get you around other people. Plug for Hype. You should have your kids here on Wednesday night. You want your kids to be secure in Christ and strong in character? Get them in community. Come on, you get them to baseball practice. I'm preaching to the choir. You get them to every event they need to be at. Get them here on Wednesday nights. Get them rooted in Christian community. Get them some Christian leaders in their life, some influencers in their life, and some friends in their life. It'll change the direction of their life. But it doesn't change when we become adults. Show me your circle of friends. Show me who you're hanging around with. Show your future. And if that is true, because Proverbs 13:20 tells us, walk with the wise, become more wise. For a companion of fools suffers many harm. If that is true, then that is why, and this is what we believe here at the church and why I say it every week one way or another. Rooted in community here means you get in a group or on a team. You go, what's the whole? Because it helps you get rooted, right? It's encouragement. Hey, you're around people who encourage you. It's accountability. I said I'd show up. I said I'd serve. I got to get there. I got to give. I got to serve. I got to be a part. That's what it means to be rooted in community. So I got to ask you something, married couples. Who are you looking to for your example? And maybe it's your parents. God willing, I hope that's the case. I hope your parents have modeled for you an amazing marriage. But statistics tell us half of us didn't have that. Maybe it was your grandparents, but they're gone for most of us. So who is it? Who are you getting around that you'd go, man, that's where I want to be. When we get to their age, they're 20 years down the road, maybe even further. How did you navigate the teenage years? Because God knows we're going to need help. How did you get through the empty nest years? How do you guys stay in love? How are you still so committed? Seems like you have so much fun. See what they do. Start hanging around people like that. Rooted in community. The life you have is a result mainly of who you surround yourself with. And if you or the person you're dating isn't rooted in Christian community, I would be very cautious. One of the first things I tell people when they're dating is as soon as you can, maybe even before you go on your official first date, go hang out with their friends. You may answer a lot of questions right away about, is this the right person for me? How do they talk? How do they behave? What do they value, right? What's the relationship with God? Like all of those things. Rooted in community is so important. Becoming is our goal. Whether we're single or married today, our goal is to become more like Christ. And when we do, we will be secure in Christ, strong in character, rooted in community. If you're looking today, you're looking for that. And listen, God will give you the desires of your heart when it's right. But your goal and your purpose right now is just to seek God, to become secure in Christ, strong in character, rooted in community. And if you're married today, it's still the same goal. I want to be secure in Christ, strong in my character, rooted in community. Because my purpose in life is not to be married. My purpose in life is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Close your eyes. I want to extend an invitation to some of you, because if you've noticed today throughout the message, I didn't say that our purpose in life is to be a believer in Jesus. Belief is what starts our relationship with Him. That's it. It's the starting point of building our life on Him. And when I say that your life's purpose is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus, that means that my purpose in life is not directed in any other direction other than God. My purpose is to know you, to discover who you are, who I am in you, and to live out your plan and purpose for my life. That is our goal once we come to Christ. That's what a surrendered life to Jesus looks like. And as I said last week, you have to believe that His way is better before you'll ever do that. So today, I'm not asking if you're a believer in Jesus. I'm asking you, are you fully devoted to following Him? No matter where you fall in your relationship status this morning, God wants you to be complete in Him, secure in Him, strong in Him, rooted in a family of faith. So today, if you were to just be honest before God and say, that's not me. I'm not devoted to following after Jesus. I'm not serving His plan and purpose for my life. The Bible says that when we recognize that, we repent. It just means to turn from what you're pursuing, what you're following now, and turn to Jesus. And if you do that with a sincere heart today, the Bible says He'll meet you right where you are. He'll extend mercy and forgiveness to you and set you in a new direction, a new pursuit of Him and His will and plan for your life. So today, if that's where you're at, God wants to meet you here today. He wants to extend his grace and mercy to you, but it starts with you just acknowledging, hey, that's where I'm at, God. So I'm just going to ask you as a sign of surrender today that that's where you are and responding to what the Lord is speaking to you now. Say, Kyle, would you just pray for me? I need that today. And I just want to turn to him today. If that's where you're at right now, just slip up your hand real quick. I want to pray for you. Say, that's me. I see you over here. I see you here. I see you back here. I see you right here. I see you, sir. Thank you. I see you right here, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I see you here. Anyone else? I see you back there. Thank you. Yes, sir. God loves you, friend. He's here to meet you today. Anyone else? Just say, I'm gonna make that commitment. Church family, if you believe this, would you pray this with those who are praying this today? Say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, today I invite you in. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died for me so I can live for you. I surrender all that I am to you and your plan. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing with those making that decision. You rejoice too. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we still have plenty of time here, so don't rush out if you don't have to. The nachos will be there, I promise you. But I want to just allow the Lord to just speak to you for a moment. And if you made that decision today, we'd love to help you and come alongside you. You can fill out the Connect card. You can text the word adventure to 94,000. Out in the lobby, you'll see a room that says Next Steps. We got some free resources in there, some of our team that would love to connect with you. If you're new today, make sure you stop by the Welcome Center, grab your gift today. But just for the next few moments, we're just going to sing this song again real quick, and then we're going to get you out of here. But we always like to leave space at the end for God to do what he wants to do. I try to do the best I can to be led of the Spirit when I'm putting sermons together and preaching his word, but I love how the Holy Spirit can take what I say and really narrow its focus to wherever you're at and what you're going through today. I had someone after the first service, and the season of their life was really about the type of people they're hanging, strong marriage, good relationally, but man, a lot of people in their life pulling them in a lot of directions, and just that part of the sermon is what got her. I don't know what it is for you today, but I would love for you just to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? And what do you need to cement in my heart today? Because it's not about being a hearer of the word, right? It's about being a doer of the word. How can I apply these truths to my life to bring about the transformation that God wants in you? So today, let's make that commitment again to say, God, you're the foundation. I believe your way is better than mine. I want to live palms up, fully surrendered to you, and I want to build my life, my relationships, and my marriage on you, Jesus, because you complete me. And you're the purpose of my life. And if I'll just seek you and pursue you, God, you'll take care of it. He's got you, friend. He's got your situation. And today he invites you just to hand it over, to surrender to him. And I pray that as you do that, that the peace of God, the hope of his presence will fill your heart today. Father, we thank you for your word, that it's truth, and that the truth can set us free when we apply that truth to our life. So Holy Spirit, right now, as we worship you, I pray, God, you would just speak to us, that you would establish, God, and allow your word to take deep root in our heart today. We love you. In Jesus' name.